by the time that Jesus came to Jerusalem, he was already the talk of the whole country. By the time that Nicodemus heard of Jesus, his fame had spread across the whole land. Nicodemus had heard that Jesus was performing inexplicable wonders. He was doing things people couldn't understand. But what was more amazing was that Nicodemus had heard that Jesus was traveling amidst the most downtrodden and disreputable sorts of people. Notorious sinners and suspicious foreigners, poor, uneducated laborers, women, people who were sick. These were people who had problems. These were the sorts of people Jesus seemed to love and who seemed to seek him out. So what was Nicodemus doing visiting Jesus? Nicodemus, after all, he did not seem to have any of these kinds of problems. He was someone who looked like he had it all figured out. If there were a handbook to life, then Nicodemus had a first edition. He was rich and well-educated. He was part of a strict religious order, one that was well-known for their staunch morality and their upright public piety. He was even a leader among that order. He was a sort of a judge and an expert on religious matters. When people didn't understand what God wanted, they came to Nicodemus. He was at the top of the heap. But here this man was, who seemed to have everything going his way, who seemed to have it all figured out. Nicodemus, one night, arose from his bed and slipped out of his home all alone and made his way through the streets of Jerusalem to the part of town where Jesus was staying. And there, under cover of darkness, he went in secretly to have just a few minutes to talk with Jesus. Why? What could have been so important that it would drive this man to do this? Why was Nicodemus there? I think it's simple. I think it was a matter of the heart. I think that Nicodemus was looking for God. I think that he was looking for something that, despite his wealth and his rank and his knowledge and his piety, something that had eluded him. I think that Nicodemus was there because he wanted to feel the presence of God. He wanted to know the peace of being beloved of God. He wanted the uprightness of spirit that comes from doing right by God. Nicodemus came to Jesus because he wanted to know how to get those things. And he thought Jesus could teach. He says as much. He begins, the first words out of his mouth are, "Teacher, teacher, you must have been sent by God. The things that you do, they are so wonderful. Nothing less than the presence of God could explain them." Nicodemus was looking for God, and he thought that Jesus could teach him how to find God. But what Jesus then says to Nicodemus, well, it is hard to understand. Jesus says to him, "If you are looking to be in the presence of God, then you are going to have to be born again. He says this with a straight face, as if Nicodemus should understand at all what he means, saying, you have to be born again. And so Nicodemus responds and asks and presses and says, I am grown old now. I am grown old now, and my mother? Well, she has born and birthed me once, which is all anyone could ask of a person. So how in the world could I be born a second time? How? Jesus responds, if you want to be in the presence of God, you have to be born again. You will have to be born from the water and from the wind. The wind, though, the wind is free. You can't control the wind. You can hear the wind, and you can listen for it, but the wind doesn't listen back, and it doesn't come when you call. You can feel the wind blowing against you, but you can't know where it started or where it's going to end up or tell the wind where to go next. To be born again, you will need to be born of the wind. To be born again, it is like being at the mercy of the wind. Nicodemus came to Jesus with a question. How can I know the presence of God? How can I feel the peace of being beloved of God? How can I do right by God? What can I do? Tell me what to do. Teach me how. Nicodemus was burning alive with this question. How? 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 The answer Jesus gives him is, there is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do. There is no road that you can walk that will take you into the presence of God. There is no course of study that will give you the peace of knowing you are beloved of God. There is no code of behavior rigorous enough to be right by God. It's like you're at the mercy of the wind. It's like you are at the mercy of God. And there is nothing you can do about it. And with anguish, Nicodemus asks one more question. How can this be? How can these things be? He spent his life studying about God. Was it all for nothing? He spent his life working to be respectable. Was this all for nothing? He had sacrificed. He had denied himself. He had done the right thing when it was hard for righteousness' sake. Was it all for nothing? With anguish, Nicodemus asks, how can this be? There is nothing I can do. How can this be? And Jesus replies gently in his way. He replies, you're a leader of God's people, and you don't understand these things? You cannot climb your way up into heaven to meet God. You can't build a tower tall enough that stretches up to where you can be beside God. You can't make your way up into heaven. No one can. And so, God has come down to earth. And God is with you and with everyone, so that anyone might have life eternal, life abundant, life overflowing, so wonderful for everyone, not just for the holy ones, and not just for the learned ones, not just for the lucky ones, but everyone might be in the presence of God, that everyone might know they are beloved of God, that everyone might stand rightly before God. You cannot earn the love of God, but that is true of all the most wonderful of gifts. You don't have to earn a gift. You just have to accept it, and then it's yours. I don't know whether Nicodemus left having understood what Jesus meant, who Jesus was. The story doesn't say. But what it does say is that when Jesus was brought before the court on religious charges, the court Nicodemus sat on, when Jesus was brought before the court, Nicodemus was the only one who dared defend him. And when those same charges cost Jesus his life, Nicodemus spent what must have been his life's savings so that Jesus could be buried. Thank God for Nicodemus. Thank God for the need in his soul that drove him out of his bed that night. Thank God for the depth of his need for assurance. I know what it is like to be consumed by this question of how, to feel it burning inside so hot, to know that you need God, and just wishing there was something to do, some place to go, even if it were on the far side of the earth, to know that if there were something to do, somewhere to go, that I would know how to get there. For me, it was not so very long ago. Years, not decades. It was not so very long ago that I was praying on my knees one day, knowing that I needed something in my life to change, something in myself, something deep of who I was to change, and knowing that I could not do it because I had tried. With a belly full of doubts pressed up against a back, breaking from fear, knowing that I needed God to show up and not knowing how to find God. And there on my knees that day, I gave up. I gave up on being worthy enough to ever deserve God's love. I gave up on ever being faithful enough that my doubts would be gone and I could believe that God would be beside me. I gave up on waiting to be someone else. And into that space inside of me, that space that I had filled with fear, that space simply emptied out. And there was an emptiness. And into that emptiness, something else. Something else came rushing in like a wind from God knows where. Unbidden, unexpected. It was like being born again. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like Nicodemus. Maybe you are looking for God and you just don't know how. And you wish that there was something you could do, someone you could go to who could teach you what to do so that you could grasp God. Maybe you've tried. Maybe you have tried praying every day and coming to church every week and believing, hoping that maybe then you would be worthy. Or maybe you have believed that if you just could straighten out your family, that you would be worthy. Or maybe if you could just get sober, you could be worthy. Or maybe if you could just get off the streets, you could be worthy. Or if you could just take it from those who know what it is to give up. To give up and find themselves in the very arms of God. Take it from those many in this church who remember what it was like to give up pretending that they were straight and in coming out were born again and found a life they never knew could be real, like a gift, a new world. Or take it from those in this church who remember the moment when they gave up trying to save a relationship or save a marriage that was simply poison. When they gave up trying and in filing for divorce or walking out the door or filing a restraining order, found that in giving up, they were born again. Or take it from the saints who gave up their hold on this life and in dying were born again, but on a farther shore and in a greater light. You can be in the very presence of God just as you are. You can give up trying to deserve it. It is then, with our eyes cast back down to the earth, it is then that we can find God standing beside us like a brother, as he always has, or holding us up like a sister, as she ever has before. We can find God giving us everything we need, everything there is, more than we ever thought, simply out of love, like a mother who so loved the world that she would give her only son so that whoever would believe in him might not perish, but have eternal life. You don't have to earn God's love. You cannot. You just have to accept it. And it's yours.